up doing air guitar in the studio. We missed it.
Oh, well, when you got tunes like this, you can't not air guitar. Go ahead, Mike. Let it roll, baby. Good morning, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. You'll hear the wind in our microphones. We're outdoors, beautiful outdoors, at beautiful Fort Tut Hill County Park, just south, 2 miles south of Flagstaff proper, off I-17. We're here for the Get Outdoors Outdoor Expo. And I want to tell you, if you're looking for something to do with the kids, this would be a great thing to throw them in the car and get up here before it gets too hot. Jennifer and I drove up here yesterday afternoon, counted about 20 cars parked on the side of the road with their radiator guts spilled out on the highway.
A lot of those had trailers, by the way.
A lot of them had trailers. There were even some big rigs that were pulled over and out of commission. But we have the Get Outdoors Outdoor Expo this weekend at the county park just south of Flagstaff. Now I will warn you all of this one thing. We also have Parents Weekend at NAU, which is kind of is this kind of a weird time for that? Like Parents Weekend June, but apparently that's one reason that there's no hotels in Flagstaff available this weekend. We've got the Flagstaff Rodeo also going on at the Fort Tut Hill County Park, and the gun show going on at Fort Tut.
So yeah, you have a lot to do.
So you have a lot to do, but staying in a motel in Flagstaff should not be on your agenda for tonight unless you already made a reservation.
But if you wanted to stay up in the higher country, Camp Verde's not that far.
Oh, that's
now,
right.
You're not up at the cool, but Camp Verde's not all that much different if you're coming from Phoenix, Tucson. I mean, you may be 5 degrees, but I mean, Williams is 30 miles to the west.
Yeah.
Has some great local hotels. The downtown Williams is one of the most picture-perfect.
It's pretty cool.
1950s American old town streets in the whole state. Or go, what is it, about 60 miles east to Winslow?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, probably right at. See if there's
and
room.
You guys have
at the La Posada.
At the La Posada, yeah.
Have a great dinner. Woo.
So it'd be a great opportunity for y'all to come up.
Sedona.
And this is a great event to teach kids how to get out in the wild. Game and Fish is here, Arizona Game and Fish Department, and they've set up a tent with a big water well container. I think they have 7 million trout in there. They're going to teach you and the kids how to bait your hook, how to catch the fish, how to release the fish.
6.5 million. I counted the last
It's 6.5 break. Million.
I wanted to be accurate.
Okay. And then we've got the archery range where the kids will have qualified professional help and tutoring and monitoring. And teach them how to throw a couple arrows downrange. So a great opportunity. And then we've got the Lumberjacks here. Now, pretty soon, a little bit later in the show, they're going to have a chainsaw contest. So it's going to be very interesting to be conducting the Rosie on the House live on air right next door to the Chainsaw Festival. You'll have to stay tuned for that because we have no idea how we're going to pull that off. But the Lumberjacks are here, and they also have a water tank set up as well for the log rolling contest. Jennifer, I signed you up. You're going to go get that guy up there right now that's climbing the tree. We've got hatchet throwing. We've got, you might even be hear them now. They're actually practicing, sharpening all their hatchets. It's going to be a great time at the Fort Tut Hill County Park. And, of course, it's all driven by the Mike Russell Get Outdoor Show that airs on KTAR later today. Can I start the show by, I had my driver bring me up yesterday.
Your driver.
Because I had
that
like
that would be me.
I had like 47 phone calls to make, and one of them was from a woman in Highland, California. She's in real estate, and she and her husband live in Highland, California. I'm not exactly sure where that is, but apparently it does get warm there. They're moving to Gilbert, Arizona. And their concern is, and she found us by Googling insulation in Arizona homes. And apparently Rosie on the House came up. And then she called us.
Probably one of the FAQs came in.
I would guess, one of the FAQs. And so she wanted to know, it just from an outsider coming to Arizona to buy a home, knowing that it got to 119 degrees just in this past week, how do we know the house we're looking at is properly built to stay as comfortable as possible in those temperature extremes? And you know, a thought occurred to me in talking to her. I know when y'all are shopping for homes, you know, the realtors always encourage you to get that home inspection, right? And the seller usually pays for that. Depending on whether or not it's a buyer or seller's market, who pays for it. But you get the home inspection done. I don't know that I'm not going to start recommending that you ought to get a home energy audit done. They're only $99, and you get them done by one of the Rosie certified whole house energy audit companies, and basically what condition you've got in the home you're considering to buy. But a lot of people coming in from out of town are worried about this fella in particular, Julie's husband, said, well, how about if we put a whole house fan in? And you know, the whole house fans are very popular in parts of California. They're very popular in the Midwest, but they're not very popular in Arizona. Do you know how many pounds of sand and dust a whole house fan will drag into your home over the course of a spring or a fall? And there just aren't that many times that you're going to be able to use it for cooling. So whole house fans aren't very practical. I was an evap cool guy for a long, long time. Then we came up with variable speed compressors and air conditioners. I'm telling y'all, folks, for indoor air quality, for cleanliness, and for cost effectiveness, it's really hard to beat air conditioning right now for the cost that it is and how it's come down from the 60s and the 70s. So analyzing that home prior to purchasing, I got to think about this, because the thought only hit me as I was on the phone with Julie yesterday driving up here. Should we start recommending whole house energy audits prior to, or as a part of the due diligence on purchasing a home?
If we do, I will say that would be a nice 20-year transition, because they'd build the homes a little bit better if they were factoring that much value into the resale, for sure.
Very good. What do you got new on the website? We've got a caller here I want to get to, but what have you got cooking on the website? You're always boiling up something new there.
Well, you've probably heard us talking for years just about the thought of an e-commerce store, because we are constantly sent tools and products. Hey, Rosie, test this. Hey, Rosie, try this. I make it out of my garage, and sometimes they're great products, but they're not really available anywhere. And so we have been working on this concept for about 3 or 4 years, and we're just now soft launching our Rosie e-commerce store. 3 weeks ago was our first product. It was the Franklin Sensor Stud Finder. It's a stud finder that is the most accurate, precise, reliable stud finder we've had on the market. In fact, when we went to do the product review video for it, we were going to pull all of our other stud finders to show examples of here's why it's better than all these other ones. Well, everyone had thrown away their old ones. We didn't have anywhere at Rosie on the House and any other stud finder to use. So we had the Franklin stud finder. Last week we covered the Hex Armor safety glasses. They have a 23% tint on them, which is great for working indoors and outdoors without having to constantly take your glasses on and off, because that 23% doesn't blind you when you're inside. If you need to continue wearing your safety glasses, if you're running nailers or coming in and out of shade. So those are great. The lenses clean up nicely. They're lightweight. They're plastic. They are just like 8 ounces. This week, though,
Valley Forge, baby,
hunted high and low for the best American-made flag. And what we have found is Valley Forge have been making flags since 1882 out of Pennsylvania. We've got they've got a couple different product lines. This one in particular is called the Coralex, and it's a super tough material. So in the monsoons, I don't know if you've ever driven around and looked and noticed how many flags are kind of shredded out there. I'm not saying this one eventually won't, but it's going to last you a lot longer. It's the Coralex, K-O-R-A-L-E-X 2. It's a heavy spun polyester 100% American made. And then there's also a mounting bracket and a pole that if you don't have a place or a way to hang your American flag already, we've got the mounting brackets. And this stainless steel pole has swivels on it, so your flag will never get wrapped around the pole. It'll just keep going around and around and around, which is really nice because that's a pain in the neck to constantly be going out there and trying to straighten out your flag.
So that's what's newest at Rosie on the House. You just, and you can't believe how hard we had to search to find a place that made an American flag in America.
I know. I know.
That goes with our 7 o'clock interview that we had Mark Andahl on talking about the Made in America store. If you missed that interview, you've got to go back and podcast it because it's great. So we've got callers on hold.
When you go to rosieonthehouse.com and you click Find a Trusted Partner, this is the e-store category. We're putting everything. We're on our hard launch later this year. It'll actually be shop.rosieonthehouse.com. But right now, everything's just in our e-store category with the rest of our trusted partners.
Well, there you go. So if you've got a project, we're calling Home Improvement Show. The number is 1-888-767-4348. Give us a ring and let us put our 50 years of Arizona remodeling and home building to work for you. Maybe we've got a little tip or trick of the trade, or maybe we have a specific product recommendation or a tool recommendation we can make to help you pull that project off just a little bit better, make it look a little bit more professional. So when you back up, it's done, it's finished, you can look at that and say, hey, I did that. And everybody that walks in will want to know who you hired to get it done. That's what we do here at Rosie on the House, in our quest and in our goal and in our mission to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. We have Dan on the line that wants to talk about air conditioning filters, and Jane calling from Tucson wants to talk about gate and fence repair. Why don't you give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. We'll go to callers right after this.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here.
Try that again. And it's a half past four, and I'm shifting gear. Hey, with you every Saturday morning. We'd like to open the lines up at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
With Dan.
Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Here's my question. My AC unit has, and my heater sits on a box in the garage, and the return air comes through the hall through a filter. And as it returns, it goes through another filter that's a plastic filter underneath the heater. Should I just remove that and not worry about it, or leave it there to get better airflow and efficiency?
Okay, your system is on a platform in the garage.
Yeah, in a big box.
Okay, so the return air comes up from under the ground?
No, it comes from the hallway into the box and then through the heater, then through the coils and, you know, circulates.
Okay, and so what do you want to remove?
I have a rugger filter on the wall in the hallway, but in underneath the furnace, there's this plastic filter they put in. It's a train unit. Should I just take it out so I get better airflow, or should I just leave that plastic? It's just a plastic filter
now
underneath the heater.
Now, when was that installed, Dan?
96.
So when you say plastic filter, I'm thinking that's like one of those reusable washables that need to be taken
out. No, it's actually made out of hard plastic with a screen on it.
Hard plastic?
You can actually wash it and put it back in.
Yes, okay. But you don't, do you?
I have taken it out many times and cleaned it.
Okay. I am not a big fan of those at all. I'd much rather you just go to a simple 1-inch paper pleated filter, and I'm going to tell you why. We can't, with the exception of a sterilization process, clean that cleanable filter clean enough to really put it back in and do any good. That plastic filter is like fishing line, like monofilament line weaved into a mat. And as the air passes over it, it creates static electricity, which causes all of the particles in the air to stick to it. It's a very, very, very good filter. The problem with it, it's such a good filter that it clogs up too fast and starts starving your unit for air. And homeowners aren't equipped with the right kind of sterilization equipment to take that out, clean it, dry it completely. You never want to put that back into your airflow moist. That's a huge breeding ground for molds and deteriorating your indoor air quality very rapidly. So if I were you, you have a spun fiberglass filter like on the back side of your return air register underneath that platform. Did I understand that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And then I have another filter that goes to the hallway. It's under, you know, goes into the house where I have my pleated filter where the air flows from the hallway, you know, the return air into the box through the heater. So I want to jerk that plastic one out and just take it out.
I think so. If you're now, you want the filtering to happen as close to the coil as possible. So the fact that those other filters are a distance away, I would either want to spend a huge amount of time creating a completely dust-free return air plenum environment, or I'd move those filters back to where the plastic filter currently is, get that out of there, and just insert a good-fitting 1-inch paper-pleated filter, and I think you'd have the situation under control. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Take the plastic one out and get one that fits in there, a regular filter, a pleated one inside the heater.
There you go.
Okay, thanks.
That's what I would do, my friend. We appreciate the call. Thanks a million. And that leaves us to Eric with an open line for you, 1-888-767-4348. Eric, what's your question, my friend?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just had a quick question. I've added a couple of large swamp coolers to my workshop, and they've got the purge pump on them, and I'm discharging that excess water to water some trees with. I was just concerned about the high level of salinity in that water and what effect that would have on the trees.
What kind of trees are you feeding them?
Chamois.
Yeah, and how mature are they?
The trunk on them's roughly at the bottom about 6 inch diameter.
Uh huh.
Six 7 inches.
And are these 6,500 CFM coolers? Or bigger?
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry, I mean the same trees that I'm watering are pecan trees.
Okay. And how big a coolers? But commercial big 10,000 or residential 6,500?
They are 7,000 CFM. I've got two of them.
Okay, and how depending on how often you're regularly discharging, if you're discharging to the point where you're replenishing that water every 18 to 24 hours, you're not building up enough salinity in there to cause any damage to a pecan tree that's got a 6-inch diameter trunk. I think you're going to be just fine. Just make sure you're replenishing that water often enough to keep the salinity from building up, and you're going to be fine. Romy, you've got a very anxious filled expression on your face.
Well, are these pecan trees you plan on harvesting the pecans on and eating?
They're barely mature enough to really produce any nuts or good enough size.
We're running short on time. I will just say, if it's anything you're going to produce, they need a very specific amount of zinc to make a good pecan. And I don't think I'd introduce the salt buildups into that mixture.
Got it.
I'm going up the country, baby, don't you want to go?
A good day to leave the big city if you're listening to us down in the Phoenix metro area. I have to tell you, I couldn't encourage you more to jump in the car, make sure the radiator's in good shape, fill up the ice chest with some cold drinks, waters and Gatorades, electrolytes, and come on up to Fort Tuthill County Park just south of Flagstaff, where we're broadcasting live for the Get Outdoors Outdoor Expo. It is going, it's a beautiful setting. In the ponderosa pine trees, we've got vendors set up all through the park area just outside of the amphitheater, and game and fish are here, teach you how to fish, teach the kids how to shoot bow and arrow, teach them all kinds of outdoor skills. We've got vendors galore out here, just kind of spend the day cruising in the grass, shade tent to shade tent, and enjoy the aroma of the ponderosa pines of beautiful Coconino County, right here at the Coconino County Fairground, the Fort Tuthill County Park. Let's see if we can get through a few callers. And we've got Mike. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for calling Rosie on the house. How can we help you, my friend?
Good morning. Hey, I have a house. It's about 2,100 square feet, and it was built in 2001. And I have, for some reason, four vents toward the front of my house in the living room, the den, and part of the kitchen. They blow out about 10 degrees warmer than the rest of the vents. So I went to the attic and I noticed the ducts, the ones that are cooler, they come out of, I guess it's called the handler, sideways, and the ones that are warmer are going up. Is there something, or who should I call to get that checked out?
Have you had a whole house energy audit done before?
No, sir, I have not.
All right. Mike, just go to the website, rosieonthehouse.com, under energy management. Take a look at the where you're calling from. Where in Arizona?
Litchfield Park.
Okay. There are two home energy audit experts that service the Phoenix metro area, Green ID and Rias. Get a whole house energy audit. That's going to cost you $99. Let them assess why we're not getting the cold air flow in those tributary lines that you should be getting. They may have to put a small deflector in the ductwork to send more air that way. It may be pinched up. It may be a poor design. But they can assess all that after taking a look at it. And then not only will you have engineered solution for the ductwork, but for $99, they're going to look at the whole house for insulation,
right,
weather stripping, and everything else. So I'd start there and collect their recommendations on how they could solve that problem. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right, Mike. We appreciate the call. Thanks a bunch.
We got a special guest on the line. We talked about all this heat and how it's just going to help bring in the monsoons a little bit more. Well, with rain and thunder comes lightning, and we've got our good friend Bob Ross from Lightning Busters. It's one of our most listened to segments of our podcast over the course of the last 15 or so years since we've been digitally archiving it. And Bob went into retirement. He hung up his belt, and 5 years later he's back at it. He couldn't sit still, and there was nobody out there doing it right, and it was driving him nuts. So he's back at it again. Welcome.
That's awesome.
Welcome back to the team, Mr. Ross.
Thank you very much. I guess they just keep dragging me back.
You know, lightning is a pretty incredible natural phenomena. If I remember, it'll travel up to 40 miles horizontally. I don't think people realize that.
40 miles ahead of the storm.
Right. It's approximately 1 million degrees. And the strike zone is in the in an area the diameter of your thumb.
How's our memory on that, Bob?
That's pretty good,
man. So when you're when you're delivering that kind of power, that kind of temperature in that kind of concentrated area, it's more powerful than a laser beam.
Yeah, you know, yes, it is, and people don't realize, you know, how bad it can be. You don't have to see it. It's so far away, and it can still hit, and it can come down in urban areas where it can hit two or three targets at a time. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I still see people sitting out there in the storm in an aluminum chair in front of their garage watching this lightning, and they just don't realize. You know, I first started here, there weren't that as many houses being hit. Arizona's number two in the country for lightning strikes, but a lot of these were hitting out in the middle of the desert, and now they're subdivision. So yeah, there's a lot more targets, and you hear more about people getting homes hit by lightning. And basically, it's always been that way. It's just that we have more targets now.
The biggest myth, the biggest erroneous, incorrect myth about lightning is it'll never strike twice in the same place.
Yeah, well, there was a house in Fountain Hills that got hit five times. And there wasn't that much damage the fourth time. The fifth time, it hit his electrical panel, blew out the wall in the garage, and started a fire inside the living room.
Let's talk a little bit. Okay, so lightning is, I mean, I have a lot of outdoor friends. You know, they can survive with the best of them, pretty burly guys, pretty rough guys. But I tell you what, When the lightning starts approaching, these guys become like emergency alert. You really need to respect it. How do you protect a property from the power of lightning, Bob?
Well, if you think about what lightning does, it's usually about 150 feet above your house, and it's called the corona. And what it does is it's looking for the best path to ground. That's why a lot of times animals will get real nervous. I don't know if you're ever that close that the hair on your neck would stand up. That's the corona from the lightning. So it'll move around and it's just looking for a path least resistant. And when it does hit your house, it likes corners and sharp edges. And it can hit the corner of a roof. The lightning doesn't start the fire. It's the side flash or the arc. It's looking for the path of least resistance. So if it hits your roof, it'll arc over to a pipe, electrical. It'll arc over to your ductwork. It likes to arc over to maybe a fireplace with a metal flue. And that's when the problem will occur. It'll hit that. It'll side flash down and start the fire.
And so how do we protect the property?
So what we do is we put up air terminals. People call them lightning rods. They're 12 inches high. And what we do is we put a grid system on the roof. We use braided wire. Everything is UL approved for lightning protection. And we have little air terminals up there. And what we do is we're just giving it a path to least resistance. If it doesn't attract lightning, a lot of times what it'll do is it'll prevent it. Because what will happen is that for that nanosecond that the lightning's going to hit, it'll change the corona, and it might hit your neighbor's house, but it'll protect your house. If it does hit the air terminal, it'll just take the path of least resistance to ground. We put a grid system in of wire on the roof, and we have two paths, and if the lightning hits the air terminal, It moves in 5 nanoseconds. It'll shoot down through the wire, and we put ground rods in the ground and discharge in the ground.
And
many
Bob,
people won't even realize that their house was hit by lightning. Every once in a while, if it does, you can see the air terminal on top might have a little burn tip on it. It doesn't affect the operation, but you'll know that you were hit by lightning and your house is safe.
Bob, what do you do? It would seem to me a metal evaporative cooler with steel and water sitting in it with electricity running to it would be like a magnet for lightning.
Oh, yeah. That's a welcome sign. That and you know, HVAC equipment, also flues, metal flues, anything like that on top of the roof really does attract it. And we do the same thing. We put air terminals on your air conditioning system. We put it on your VAP system. Anything sticking up high, like a metal flue, which most people have, you know, it's bricked around, but the inside is metal. So we also put air terminals. We put air terminals on everything that possibly could be hit. And the other good part about it is that, and say for an example that your roof is 20 foot high. So the air terminal is 1 foot, so that's 21 foot. If you go from your house and measure out 42 feet and put a line on there and draw an arrow up to the top of that air terminal, everything there is in a cone of protection. So if you have cars or anything else, there is a cone of protection that'll prevent it from happening. Now, it can even happen with the swimming pool. If your air terminal is up and that pool is in the air, you know, in that cone of protection, you can actually swim in the pool. I wouldn't. I would never take the chance. But theoretically, it would be in a cone of protection.
You know, we've done with you, of course, several projects where we're putting the lightning protection on homes. But I think if I look back and think, if I'm thinking about this correctly, I think we've protected more livestock and horses and stables and barns than we have actual houses.
Yes. And that's the next thing. Again, sometimes with animals, dogs and horses, they get very nervous. And a lot of times it's because of that corona. That corona has static electricity. And again, if you know, for humans, sometimes when it's close, that the hair will stand up in the back of your neck. Well, if you think of an animal, you think of a dog or a horse, that's all hair, they get that feeling. And a lot of times that's when they get really nervous and scared because of that feeling. So, yes, you know, we do protect barns and homes. And a lot of people put that thunder collar or thunder coat on a dog for it. This will also do it because it'll stop that static electricity from going to their hair.
You know what? If I was a horse standing next to a metal stable wearing steel horseshoes, mm-hmm. I'd be nervous too.
Yes. You know, most of the time it's wet. Most of the time they have metal shoes on. And, you know, you see it a lot of times. Cows will go under a tree. And if it gets hit, you know, three or four cows are dead.
Bob,
we can protect, you know, we can protect trees. We can protect cattle underneath it. You can protect almost anything with it.
Bob Ross from Lightning Busters. How would people get in touch with you, Bob?
Well, we can go to our website, which is lightningbusters.com, or you can call at 480-229-2646.
And how big an area is your service area?
We're all over.
You'll cover the
we
state?
We go all over the valley.
Okay.
So, and we even go up north. We did work up in Flagstaff and Williams and stuff before I kind of retired, but we're back now, and you know, we would go all over.
Welcome back, Bob. Bob Ross of Lightning Busters. It's certainly worth considering. We're talking about the second level of protection when we get back.
If you hammer it, screw it, fasten it, tighten it, cut it, seal it, bend it, solder it, or just want to know how, you're in the right place. Now, back to Rosie on the House.
So we got through lightning last segment.
Yes, we did. Kaboom!
Well, what if that lightning just so happens to hit a transformer
that
leads into the electricity into your line?
That's better than the 4th of July, baby, when that happens.
Or natural surges in the power that come into your home. Every single thing that uses electricity in your home is constantly under attack daily by surges in the electric system. And that will degrade the life of everything that you have plugged in. Computers, TVs, washing machines, refrigerators, air conditioning unit. These little surge protectors you get for $12 and these strip protectors, I mean, they're made to for one-time use protection.
At best.
At best. But Mr. Bob Ross has a whole house surge protector that is a second part of this protection from, we got lightning, and now the surge into our electrical lines. Tell us about the one whole house surge protector.
Okay, I need to add one more thing about lightning protection. Once it's in, it doesn't need maintenance. It doesn't need anything. It's there permanently, and that's it. You don't have to pay a monthly fee. You don't have to have inspections. It's there for good.
Good point. So, excellent.
And the surge protection, you know, everything you buy now in electronics, they say, we advise surge protection, buy a surge protector. And there's a lot of them around. The ones that you plug into the wall, they have a joule rating, J-O-U-L-E, and it's a storage rating. Once that stores up the surge, either a light will go on or go off and say, replace it. And it's only a capacitor. So if it's 80% filled, and you get a real good surge, it's not going to be able to handle it. So we use called SICOM, and we put one in your master panel. And what it does, if you have 220 volts, which everybody does, it monitors each line. And if anything goes up over 250, and it has to be 250 because some houses have 125 volts on each line, so it would be 250. But even if it was 1 volt over, it opens up in 5 nanoseconds, and which is 5 billionth of a second, discharges it into the ground and closes back up. It's called electrovoltage. So when you install one of those, it's there for good. And anything connected to the electrical panel would be protected. So if there was a lightning strike or if there, you know, was a surge, which if you had a real good meter and you plugged it in, you could watch that needle move. and it's coming from the electric company. It's coming from load shedding. It's coming from a lot of different things. This will maintain your electric, because anytime the company will say that it'll increase anything you have solid state by at least 20 to 30 percent. I can't check it out, so I can't really tell you, but it does work that way. A lot of people have their garage door openers go, their computers, all the fine stuff, because everything is getting smaller and smaller, so it's getting so much more sensitive to electric.
So we put
the SICOM on, and then if you have a dish or you have cable that's coming in from a separate line, we put a surge protector on that. So because sometimes a surge will go underground, it'll jump to different cables and come in your house. Same with your telephone. If your telephone is hardwired coming in, we put one on that too. So we protect every point of entry coming into your home.
Protecting your house in 5 nanoseconds, all at one point. This isn't a 2-week operation. This isn't a 2-day operation. Bob Ross gets there, puts the lightning, the surge protection on the house. And I have said for a long, long time, every house should have surge protection. It is just the cheapest insurance you can have. And like Bob says, it extends the life of all your electronic equipment. If you haven't whole house surge protected your home, that's the very first thing you should do. Second thing you should do is get a whole house energy audit. Bob Ross of Lightning Busters, give us your number one more time.
480-229-2646.
Get your house surge protected now and have Bob, while he's there, do a full assessment on the lightning protection that we would also highly, highly recommend.
Coming up next hour. Oh, hey. There's our baseball sound effect. That must mean it's time to give away our D-backs tickets. There is a trivia question in our weekly newsletter that goes out on Thursday about the Arizona Diamondbacks. If you know the answer to that question, now is your time to text in. And between now and the end of this break, everyone that enters will be drawn at random. And you'll be going to see Game 45 against the Rockies. Didn't we just sweep them?
Well, they spanked us one night, and then came back and clobbered them.
Oh, okay, good. So that'll be, I think it's the next Sunday. So there'll be plenty of time to get you the tickets. And these are great seats, 13th row, seats 7 and 8. You're right above the dugout, and you get a parking pass. That is quite convenient when you park in that garage. You just walk across the skyline right in your seat.
All right. There you go. So great seats, great tickets. When we come back, 10 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking barbecue. You think you got a good barbecue? I can outbrag you 10 to 1, I promise you. And we'll have a special guest here from Barbecues Galore. Let's talk barbecue. Get online now at 1-888-767-4348. Barbecuing with Rosie on the House.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or ranking Arizona.